If you have your Bibles, we are taking a look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. The word of the Lord reads, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Perfect timing. Right on time. Timing is everything. Timing is everything when you cook that Christmas roast. If you take it out too early from the oven, it's raw. If you take it out too late, it's burnt. Timing is everything. Showing up right on time when those Christmas cookies come fresh out of the oven. Just pour me a glass of milk. Timing is everything, especially when it comes to farming and gardening. Harvest too soon is not as big, it's not as tasty. Timing is important when it comes to humor. The difference between a good joke and a bad one is a person's sense of timing. Timing is relevant when it comes to investment. Is it a good time to buy or sell? Timing is important in relating to people at home. If mommy's upset, you may want to delay in asking what's for dinner. At school, if a friend is stressed or freaking out, it may not be a good moment to ask that same person for help in your chemistry homework. Or at work, when a company's downsizing, cutting the budgets, you may want to consider waiting a bit before asking for a raise. Timing is everything. Even so, with timing, the reality is that it's nearly impossible to hit all those green lights when we're driving, especially down Florin Road. At one time or another, we've all burnt a piece of toast or burnt a pot or a frying pan. We've all blurted out something inappropriately at one time or another. And so we know. Sometimes the flaws when it comes to timing. But when it comes to God, his timing is perfect. He's never late, never early, right on time. Granted, we may desire for God to work faster than he does, or desire more than what he has revealed. But in the end, God's timing is always perfect. When we go through our crisis mode, we tend to forget this. We tend to even forget it even afterwards. Sometimes we have difficulty in our reflections and grasping God's timing. Some time ago, there was a book written way back when, and the title was, "God Has Never Failed Me, But He Assured Scared Me to Death." Maybe we have thought that at one time or another. As we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, glory to God in the highest, let it be known, it's about God's timing. And what timing for gospel implications for you this day? Maybe we're more familiar with that Christmas song lyric, "What a bright time is a right time to rock that night away," or "Jingle bell time is a swell time." But perhaps it's the Wesleyan hymn is more important. This particular line, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sin releases us. Let us find rest in thee." If you want to follow, you can follow along also in our bulletin. But let's take that first phrase, when the fullness of time comes, in verse 4. It is the perfect time the Savior was born. When the fullness of time had come, had fully come. It means to ripen. It means to ready to come, complete, fully developed. Ripen like a fruit that is hand-picked, or ready to ready like a birth when a pregnant woman set to deliver the baby. Or it is complete, like finishing a book, or fully developed, not a moment too soon and a moment too late. So in the context where it says the time had fully come, it describes a moment when the stage was perfectly set. The perfect time the Savior was born. Let me give you three reflections on that. It was a perfect time situationally. It was a perfect time situationally. And at the time, the Roman Empire dominated the landscapes. And there was this edict called the Pax Romana, which the Romans advocated and legislated a time of peace upon the land. And so the given enjoyed this period of relatively peace, which put conflict at a very minimum. And for the most part, the different groups were getting along. And so what it meant that travel was good. Travel was good not just for pilgrimages, for trades, for census. But think about it. Traveling was prime for the spreading of the good news of the gospel. Even the written language of Greek was set to foster communications and letters and documents and all. So it was a right time, situationally. It's also a right time, scripturally. God kept his word. Perfect timing. The prophecies of the Old Testament to be fulfilled and was fulfilled. Starting with Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God promised that one day the seed of a woman could crush the head of the serpent, who is Satan. The seed, of course, is the Savior, Jesus. Now, interesting, when you look at the context of the passage, the notice was directed at the serpent. And so even though it contains that promise for mankind, it is also a sentence of judgment to the serpent. And this teaches us about God's plan. And when it comes to his sovereign plan, God's rules as much as man's need. Centuries later, God promised David that one day he would have a son, a descendant, to sit on his reign, and it will be everlasting. The prophet Micah declared that the Messiah would be born in a little town of Bethlehem. Daniel chapter 9 referred to the timing of the Messiah, or he put it in his words, the anointed one. There is plenty of Old Testament scriptures and prophecies that foretold of Christ's coming. And speaking of centuries, remember there was that gap, that four-century gap, that 400 years of gap between the prophet Malachi and before the coming of Christ. Scholars called it the silent period. And there was many silent years. However, God did not forget his promise. As many are the promises of God, in him they are yes. And so prophecy was fulfilled at the right time. Right on time. The perfect time. God is never late. His timing is always perfect. And so you have it situationally. You have it scripturally. And it was the right time spiritually. It was the right time spiritually. In this given period of history of the world, the history of mankind, this was actually a very perfect time. People were ripe at this advent of Christ. Man had tried not only for centuries, but for millennia, to save himself, but to no avail. The Jews tried it the hard way, tried to save themselves through the adherence, through the law of Moses, but only to fall short. The intellectuals, even the Greeks, tried to save themselves through thinking, philosophy, but pulled themselves away from God. The mighty armies, past and present, like the Romans, rolled with the ruling might and power, but they weakened in addressing the most basic problem of mankind. Each failed, and they failed disappointedly, defiantly, dejectedly, and despondently. But this was a time like no other before mankind to ready to receive the good news. The time had fully come. It was the perfect time. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. Think about this. If God can work out the timing of the advent of Christ, the Savior's arrival, the good news of salvation, do you think he could work out some timing issues in our lives? Perhaps we need to confess all those times where we wanted God to hurry up, right? We might have thought it. We might have even prayed it. But who knows and plans better? You or God? God's timing is perfect. But our timing is often flawed. Sometimes it happens during these Christmas gatherings. Instead of waiting for that calm moment or a secluded moment to perhaps talk or confront a relative about a certain insensitive remark, maybe we voice our displeasure without edit that leads to the escalation of conflict. God's timing is perfect, but our timing is often flawed. Sometimes it happens in relationship. You get tired of waiting for that right someone, or you get tired of waiting even in marriage, so instead of avoiding temptation, you linger in temptation, compromising morally. God's timing is perfect, but ours is often flawed. Sometimes it even happens in churches. Waiting for that right time to build or expand. And sometimes churches rush ahead and get into a mortgage that preoccupies the flock's attention, thereby stymieing the ministry and the gospel work. God knows. God knows what he's doing. And sometimes delays can be good and purposeful. And so we must ask ourselves, is it too much to wait upon the Lord? Isaiah had written a verse that you could ride on, and that is, those who wait upon the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Waiting. Sometimes it's hard for us to wait. Sometimes we rather do something impulsively, and sometimes we miss out on even the beauty of waiting. But let us be mindful, there is not only beauty in waiting, but there's also worship in waiting. As in Simeon, who waited to see the Christ child. The arrival of Christ. Christ's arrival, the birth of Christ, it is perfect. Perfect timing. It is also the perfect timing as far as the Savior's not only birth, but his death on the cross. The Savior died on the cross. Perfect time. For those of us who have been listening to the Gospel of John series, you may recall that phrase, "My time has not yet come." Referring to the passion, referring to the crucifixion. Jesus said, "My time has not yet come." Remember at the wedding of Cana, Jesus said it to his mother, "My time has not yet come." And throughout the gospel, this phrase is repeated time and time again. John chapter 7, at the festival of the tabernacles, of all people, his brothers told Jesus, "Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." Great opportunity. You know what Jesus said to them? He said, "My time has not yet come." You know what he also said to him? Not only did he say, "My time has not yet come," but for you, any time will do. Actually, even later on in that chapter 7, Jesus gets pounced on after he taught, and it's said that the religious leaders tried to seize him, but no one laid hand on him because his time has not yet come. Chapter 8, when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," the Pharisees took exception, didn't they? They got in Jesus' face. "Where is your father?" Scripture states what Jesus replied, and he said, "You do not know me or my father. If you knew me, you would know the Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offering was put. Yet no one sees him because his time had not yet come. Chapter 13, verse 1, right before Passover feast, the word of the Lord said, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to his Father. John chapter 17, we know it as the high priestly prayer when Jesus looked up to heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you grant him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The perfect time. Christ died on the cross. Jesus had perfect timing, didn't he? He was conscientious about the Father's timing. Delivered at the right time. Died on the cross at the perfect time. You know, for us, sometimes we miss God's timing. Sometimes knowingly, or it's God gives us an opportunity for a gospel conversation, and yet sometimes we have to knock ourselves in the head when we remain silent when that opportunity presents itself. Sometimes we miss up on other opportunities to extend grace in a conversation with a brother and sister in Christ, or mercy withholding judgment upon a brother and sister in Christ. Sometimes God gives us opportunities, especially in this time of season, for hospitality and kindness. Instead, sometimes we wait too long, we miss out. And sometimes we even have trouble even recalling one particular action or two particular actions of grace and mercy. There are times God wants us to act, but we don't act. We miss out because we don't do. Is it that we don't do because we're afraid to do the new, or do what God wants us to do? Is it that we are holding back because we are fearful? We are tense. Actions may be the belief that God has brought you to that particular situation for a particular purpose and at that particular time. What about now? You have 2 days before Christmas. and Christmas come, many of us are looking forward to those family gatherings where gifts are exchanged and open. But there is one gift. There is one for you. God has a Christmas gift for you, not in a decorative wrapping or bags with fancy ribbons, but the gift is his Son, Jesus Christ. And like all gifts, you must receive it and open for yourself. The Bible says many received him, that is Jesus. To them he gave the right to become children of God. You can never truly enjoy the meaning of Christmas until you could look up to God in prayer and tell him, yes, I have received your precious gift. I have believed in Christ. Friends, have you done that? Can you honestly say that you have done that? Scripture says, when the fullness of time has come, God sent his forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as son. The perfect time. The Savior died on the cross. The perfect time the Savior received. You know, if you take a look at the Galatians passage, by the way, you have to ask yourself the who, the what, the when, and the how, and the why, and you get the answers. It's right here. Paul told us, who? Paul told us who came, and that's God's Son, Jesus Christ. What started it? God. He sent everything in motion. When? Paul told us when he came, in the fullness of time, that is, it was perfect. How? Paul told us again, it was born of a woman. And why? Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem. It was a perfect time for redemption. The perfect time the Savior received. The gospel that is read and received, the perfect time and the Savior received, the good news that Jesus offers for all who receive is his redemption. As the song goes, I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What is redemption, we ask? For those of us, we remember redemption as simply the soda pop days when we used to turn in those empty bottles and the store would buy it back. Remember those days? Redemption means to purchase, to buy back. But in the New Testament days, most often it was related in the market of buying back not soda bottles, but purchasing or buying back a slave from the market. When a slave was bought, the owner or the purchaser had two options. One, the slave became their property or employed, or two, the slave was granted his or her freedom. And so in our text, the purpose of Jesus' birth is to redeem those under the law. Those under the law. We are all slaves under the law, and Jesus came to redeem those who could not save themselves. Christ purchased us to give us the freedom, and he did one step better. Jesus paid the price for us to enter the family. He did so that we might receive the full rights of son. His redemption brings about adoption in God's family that we could call God Abba Father. Perfect timing. The Savior received. Think about this today. For many of us, perhaps we have received Christ by faith or through faith and by grace in Christ alone. However, have we really fully appreciated God's perfect timing in your salvation? And what do I mean? Whether you believed in Jesus early in life or later in life, the very fact that Jesus saved you is enough for you to be forever grateful. There should be no regrets, right? You shouldn't be envious of others who may have described a more drama when it came to their testimonies. And it's goes back to why we shouldn't be envious, because of the very fact that God saved us, it's a miracle alone. That we were once dead in our trespasses, and now we are spiritual alive in Christ. And so maybe we have to ask ourselves the question, as far as even God's timing in our lives, especially in our Christian walk. Is there anything that's holding us back in expressing our Christian faith in any ways when it comes to obedience? How about the area of baptism? In the area of involvement in community, how about church membership? Or can we honestly say that especially here in the local body, where we have been recipients through God of His grace and mercy and His love, have we reinvest those same grace and mercy and love to the body of Christ here? When it comes to salvation, God planned it with perfect timing. The Son, Jesus, purchased it with perfect timing, and the Spirit sealed it with perfect timing. Timing is everything, but with God, everything is right on time. Perfect timing. The Savior's birth, the Savior's death. Perfect timing for salvation that God can bring to us. Timing is everything. But maybe some of us have thought to ourselves, we have messed up God's timing. We have really made it a lot more messier than it is. Instead of waiting upon the Lord, maybe we have jumped the gun. Or maybe we have acted impulsively. Maybe we have stressed and even made it more of a mess. Or took matters in our own hands. But don't think that you are the only one. All you have to do is flip through scriptures. And you could see. And you will see visible reminders, or actually written reminders, of even some characters that could not wait. Abraham and Sarah could not wait. They became impatient with God. Remember, this was after they received that great promise of blessing, of their descendants' blessing. But instead of believing and trusting and waiting, it all goes together. In the promises of God, Sarah told Abraham to lay with his maidservant Hagar. And oh boy, what trouble ensued even today. What about Peter? He had a knack for taking matters in his own hand. He had a hard time understanding that Christ would suffer. Even upon the betrayal arrest, Peter swiped the sword of the soldier, cutting off his ears. In a sense, I'll handle this. But as you know, Jesus not only healed the soldier, but he rebuked Peter. The life of Moses started off promising, in good hands, well-fed, well-trained, well-educated. But Moses wasn't too bright in settling matters. Instead, he punched the Egyptian to death and became on the most wanted lists on Pharaoh. It's possible that we have some messiness in our lives. And perhaps we pass by God's warning lights. We have ignored His will. We sped ahead, or we pushed ahead God's timing, only to realize we now have a pile of mess. Now we have a bundle of bills, or now the mess is evident in fractures in friendships and even within the family circles. Or maybe our light in our Christian witness, instead of being brighter, it has become dimmer. And the thought may have run through your mind, I blew it. I messed up. It's ruined. It's over. Friend, I'll tell you this, it's not over. Dare to trust the Lord again. Wait upon Him. Believe and repent before Him. The Lord of salvation, the God of redemption, can take shattered pieces and build it into a masterpiece of grace and a blessing to others, like He did with Abraham and Sarah. in the life of Peter, and Peter would later write in his epistle a very heartfelt conviction of understanding both the significance of Christ's suffering, but also the application of sanctification through suffering. And finally, the life of Moses. Wasn't it said about him in the book of Numbers? Now to the man of Moses, he was very meek, more than all the people who are on the face of the earth. God is the Redeemer. He's a Savior. He's able to redeem. He saves. He redeems. He is sovereign. This Christmas, know that his timing is always perfect. He's never late. He is never early. And we celebrate that Christ came. He lived and died on the cross for our sins. And as we celebrate, let us be mindful that we also anticipate. We anticipate with hope, peace, joy, and love. We are reminded in Scripture and his promises that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so what the Bible is telling us, when it comes to the second coming of Christ, it's a matter of timing too. God has not sent him back to earth yet, because he wants everyone to come to repentance, and that is, God is waiting until everyone who will come to Christ does. And so maybe today is the day that you will repent. Today is the day that you may believe in God's timing in your life, that you would commit your life to Christ, that you will be refreshed and renewed and forgiven by the Lord God himself. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your perfect timing, and so evident in your precious word, Christ, that he came in the fullness of time. No better situation than your timing. No better era when love came down, that Christ left the glory of heaven to enter this world of humanity. Jesus in the flesh, who passionately pursued the cross while always being aware of your timing. And so as we reflect this Advent, let us be ever so patient in how you bring about fruitfulness in our lives. Let us be even patient, especially here in this church, for your glory. Father, we also, at one point, we do celebrate the birth of Christ, but at the same time, we also await the timing of Christ's second coming. And so, being mindful of that, of both, let us make the most of every opportunity. Even this Christmas, may love, peace, joy, and hope not simply just resonate in our souls, but extend in our speech and our conduct. To you be the glory, to you be the honor, and praise forever. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.